RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. Luxembourg will enhance bilateral cooperation in Indonesia's joint investment economy sector. No information on Indonesian citizens involved in Marawi rebel, the Philippines. Now, the news in detail. Luxembourg plans to further enhance bilateral cooperation with Indonesia, especially in economic and investment sectors. The plan will be implemented during the visit of Luxembourg Foreign Minister Jean Asselborn to Indonesia, May 13. During his visit, Luxembourg Foreign Minister will hold a bilateral meeting with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi. The Director of Europe First of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Dino R. Kusnadi, in Jakarta recently said that Luxembourg is very enthusiastic about improving relations with Indonesia, mainly in terms of finance and banking. Luxembourg, which is one of the world's financial centers after Switzerland, has become a special interest for Indonesia to improve cooperation in banking.
Bidang-bidangnya itu sebagian besar berada di bidang
The fields are mostly in manufacturing and industry. The form of cooperation that we will establish with Luxembourg is still ongoing. It will also involve, and of course we must coordinate with relevant ministries or agencies. Until now, we are still in the stage of mapping in terms of ministries, agencies involved such as Bank Indonesia and Financial Service Authority. Dino Kusnadi added that Luxembourg will also increase the value of investment in Indonesia, whose value has increased significantly since in the past few years. By 2016, the value of Luxembourg investment in Indonesia was $181.9 million, consisting of 117 projects. In addition, the cooperation of air transport and satellite telecommunication will also be on the agenda during the visit of Foreign Minister Jean Asselborn in Indonesia. According to Dino Kusnadi, the two foreign ministers will also discuss on current issues both regionally and internationally, such as efforts to combat terrorism and hardliners. A suicide bombing killing 5 people occurred at Kampung Melayu Bus Terminal, Jakarta on Wednesday night. Commenting on this, Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Vice Presidential Office, Jakarta on Friday said the terror act aims to create fear among the public with a series of radical action to cause casualties. Yusuf Kalla viewed that the terrorist act of proof of the extent to which the strength of terrorist network can create anxiety and fear to the people and the country. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the government is committed to working hard in eradicating terrorist acts and radicalism thoroughly against a number of terrorist networks suspected to still exist in Indonesia. Yusuf Kalla asked the people not to be afraid and remain calm in facing a number of terror threats, such as the terrible bombing of Kampung Melayu on last Wednesday night.
Radikalisme dan terorisme.
Well, radikalism and terrorism are all terrorists. Terrorists must be radical, but not all radicals are terrorists. Well, because both of these radical terrorists usually have relationships, have existing networking, and we do not know, the police will later explain it. Yusuf Kala added that the government encouraged the House of Representatives to immediately finalize the revision of the terrorism law, which is still considered insufficient for preventive measures rather than enforcement actions. The revision of terrorism law is expected to involve the full role of the state intelligence agency, police, the Indonesian military to the community's role in preventing acts of terrorism and radicalism that could disrupt the security and stability of the country and nation. He encouraged the completion of draft of terrorism law to strengthen the prevention and eradication of terrorism. Security forces have been securing the town of Marawi in the Philippines following ceasefire between the military and the Maute militant group on 23rd and 24th May. The Maute group affiliated with the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria or ISIS has been dubbed rebels who attacked the Philippine military earlier this week. Rumors reported that the rebellion involved Indonesian citizens, having found a passport belonging to Indonesian citizens by local security authorities. Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir in Jakarta on Friday said that until now the Indonesian government has not received information related to the passport in the name of Al Amin allegedly joined the militant group in the Philippines.
Sampai saat ini kita belum mendapatkan informasi mengenai hal.
Until now we have not got information about it, about the citizen who has there. Information that we have received is that they are part of the Tablighi group. We have not been able to verify because the passport is still on the Philippine authorities. So we will clarify whether the passport is really authentic and whether the holder is still in the Philippines. Armanata Nasir explained that until now, the Indonesian government through the Indonesian Consulate General in Davao continues to coordinate with the local government. The Indonesian Consulate General in Davao has prepared an evacuation plan for 10 Indonesian citizens who are a Tablighi member, if the situation in Marawi is safe. The Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in Davao also continues to communicate with the Lanau del Sur police in Marawi City to provide protection for them. The suicide bombing at Kampung Melayu Bus Terminal, Jakarta on last Wednesday night has become the world's attention. Foreign embassies and representatives in Indonesia even immediately issued an appeal to the citizens to remain vigilant, as posted by the United States, Britain, and Australia through their websites. Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson Armanata Nasir told a press conference in Jakarta on Friday that the appeal issued by the embassies as representative of neighboring countries was not a form of travel warning or a travel ban following a suicide bombing that killed 5 people.
Mereka mengeluarkan di website kedubesnya.
They have posted on their embassy websites reminding their citizens that a bomb had just occurred at Kampung Melayu. They remind their citizens to be careful, not to get close and to avoid the area for a while. So that's why they do. It is not a travel warning or travel ban. I emphasize that it is only an appeal to their citizens. According to Armanata Nasir, the bomb explosion is not a special thing that only occurs in Indonesia. On Monday, May 22nd, a suicide bombing has also occurred at the Manchester area, causing 22 people died. Armanata Nasir stated the appeal issued by the embassies or representative in one country in the event of a bomb or emergency is a natural thing to do. As having been done by the Indonesian embassy in London that appealed the Indonesian citizens not to get close to the Manchester Arena. The site of the suicide bombing during a concert of top singer Ariana Grande on Monday, May 22nd. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria or ISIS will build a base in Southeast Asia, precisely in the Marawi region of Mindanao of Sulu Waters, southern Philippines. Lecturer of International Law of Yogyakarta based Gajah Mada University Sigit Rianto in an interview with Radio Republik Indonesia in Jakarta on Sunday asked the government to take a firm stance against the radical movement and do not let Indonesian citizens become groups' violence victims. The government of Indonesia must anticipate all possibilities, including evacuating Indonesian citizens residing in conflict areas or areas with uncertain security aspects. Because I think protecting and securing from those fatal risks are more important than letting or allowing them to be in an uncertain situation. Sigit Rianto hopes the government can really guarantee the safety and security for Indonesian citizens wherever they are. Because according to the law, all Indonesian citizens are entitled to have security from the government. It was earlier reported that Marawi City in Mindanao, Philippines was under siege by ISIS. The Philippine military has imposed the law of war in Mindanao. Mindanao is around 5 hours by sea or 10 minutes by air to Talaut Regency of North Sulawesi. It is expected that the Indonesian military and police in the border area can prevent ISIS from entering Indonesia. As many as 17 Indonesian citizens in the city of Marawi, Mindanao province, the Philippines, refused to evacuate. They chose to stay, although the Philippine military kept on launching attacks against Maute militia affiliated to ISIS. Maute group pledged loyalty to ISIS since Tuesday has attacked the city inhabited by 200,000 residents, of which the majority are Muslims. The fierce battle between the state military and the militia has taken 46 lives, consisting of 15 military officials and 31 members of the militia. Indonesia's Foreign Affairs Ministry confirmed there are 17 Indonesians in the province. One has raised a family and the remaining 16 are a group of Jamaah Tabligh. Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesperson Arman Nathan Nasir said in Jakarta on Friday, May 26, said that Arman Nathan explained that the 16 Indonesians have communicated with Indonesian Consulate General in Davao, Mindanao. Davao Consulate General offered to evacuate them, but they refused. The 16 Indonesians are from Bandung. In a letter addressed to Falahul Muslimin or the Philippine Ulema Council with Abu Bakar As-Siddiq Mok's letterhead, it is stated that they are Muslims and they come in peace under Zemidar Handris as the leader of the group. The Philippines military revealed that there were foreign members of the militia from Indonesia and Malaysia killed in the attack in Marawi. Armanata said that Indonesian government is still verifying such information, so is the Malaysian government. The last item. An Indonesian Muslim intellectual, Azumardi Azra, said the curriculum of Indonesian International Islamic University should emphasize diversity and non-secretarial approach. Azumardi Azra, in a talk with Radio Republik Indonesia, said on Saturday that the initial idea of the university development was to develop Indonesian Islam, an archipelagic Islam known as peaceful and inclusive Islam.
Ya, yang pertama kan ide dasar pendirian atau ya rencana pembentukan universitas.
Firstly, the idea of establishing the Indonesian International Islamic University is to develop the Indonesian Islam, known as Islam Nusantara or archipelagic Islam with peaceful Islam and inclusive Islam. So if we talk about it, the curriculum should be directed more about the understanding, the practice of Islam, and also the development of Indonesian Islamic thought that can be socialized to students and of course to the world community. Azumardi Arza added regarding the number of faculties and lecturers, it depends on the needs. Most importantly, the lecturers have high expertise in their fields such as Al-Quran experts, Quran interpretation expert, anthropologist, and expert in humanities. The lecturers come from the United States, Australia, Middle East, and of course from Indonesia. According to the plan, the Indonesian International Islamic University will be built in Cimanggis, Depok, West Java. Well, listener, that was the news over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with May 28, 1905, the Battle of Tsushima ends with the defeat of Russia. Battle of Tsushima, or the Battle of the Strait of Tsushima, was the last and most decisive sea battle during the Japanese-Russian War from 1904 to 1905. The battle took place in the Tsushima Strait from 27 until 28 May 1905. Steamships from the Imperial Japanese Armada under the command of Admiral Togo Heihachiro destroyed two-thirds of the Russian Imperial Baltic Fleet under the command of Admiral Zinovy Rozhestvensky. Russia's defeat paved the way for the Portsmouth Treaty, ended the 1904-1905 Russia and Japan War. Turning to May 28, 1964, Palestine Liberation Organization is established. Palestine Liberation Organization, or abbreviated as PLO, is an official political institution of the Palestinian Arab nation that has gained recognition from the international world. The institute consists of a number of resistance organizations, legal expert organizations, students, laborers, and teachers. The goal of this organization was to free the Palestinians from various forms of violence that often attack civil society. Since its founding in 1969 to his death in 2004, Yasser Arafat was the chairman of this organization. Its current leader is Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president. Let's end today's history with May 28, 2018. Nepal is the commemoration of the establishment of the Federal Democratic Republic of Nepal on May 28, 2018. The establishment of the republic set at the end of civil war that had been going on for many years. In 1991, the first elected government of Nepal in 32 years was formed. However, the new government policy led to an economic crisis. Civil strife of the early 1995 eventually transformed into a full-scale civil war. As a result of the war, Nepal was proclaimed republic on May 28, 2008. This put an end to the 240-year-old monarchy. That was today in history of RRI World Service in Jakarta.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with this week's spotlight entitled Indonesia Invites Swiss Entrepreneur to Increase Investment. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto invited a number of Swiss company leaders to increase investment in Indonesia and partner with domestic entrepreneurs. This invitation was conveyed by Airlangga Hartarto when he met Swiss Ambassador to Indonesia, Yvonne Bauman, along with the Swiss business delegation at the Ministry of Industry in Jakarta on last Wednesday, 24 May 2017. After the meeting, Minister Airlangga explained to the media The two sides had discussed about efforts to remove obstacles both in terms of regulation and production of each industry sector. For example, the negative list of investment and encouraging local content levels on raw materials. Furthermore, the government of Indonesia has implemented the regulation on the issuance of trade license and corporate registry letters simultaneously to trading companies. This rule facilitates business actors because the application can be done online and simultaneously. Both documents can be published 2 days after the application is complete. Until now, Swiss industry in Indonesia, among others, are in the pharmaceutical and domestic sector, dairy, food and beverage, and machinery. In addition, Indonesia and Switzerland have agreed to cooperate in the field of industrial vocational education, applying the dual vocational education and training, or DVET, system. In this case, the Ministry of Industry prepares skilled workers according to the needs of the industry today as well as to face the era of industry. On the same occasion, Swiss Ambassador to Indonesia, Yvonne Bauman, and Swiss Entrepreneurs Delegation admit Indonesia has a potential market, which is quite tempting because of the large population. Moreover, she added the investment grade rating given by S&P is believed to boost the flow of foreign investment funds to Indonesia. She said, to date, 150 Swiss companies have operated in Indonesia with a total employment of 60,000 people. She hopes Switzerland continue to be a business partner for companies in Indonesia. Meanwhile, the Indonesian Ministry of Industry noted in the last 4 years, Swiss investment in Indonesia has reached $4.5 billion. Swiss Ambassador Yvonne Bautman states Swiss appreciation on the current economic growth rate of Indonesia. With more conducive conditions, it certainly can strengthen bilateral cooperation between the two countries. This will also make Swiss industry play a role in the development of economic potential in Indonesia so that growth can be higher. In 2015, the value of Indonesia and Switzerland trade amounted to $1.7 billion, or increased sharply as much as 124% when compared with the previous year. Meanwhile, Indonesia export performance to Switzerland amounted to $1.00 billion, and Indonesia's import from Switzerland about $0.68 billion. Well, sir, that was this week's Spotlight from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here's news in brief. Luxembourg plans to further enhance bilateral cooperation with Indonesia, especially in economic and investment sectors. A suicide bombing killing 5 people occurred at Kampung Melayu Bus Terminal Jakarta on Wednesday night. Vice President Yusuf Kalla at the Vice President Office Jakarta on Friday said the terror act aims to create fear among the public with a series of radical actions to cause casualties. Security forces have been securing the town of Marawi in the Philippines following ceasefire between the military and the Maute militant group on 23rd and 24th May. The suicide bombing at Kampung Melayu Bus Terminal Jakarta on Wednesday night has become the world's attention. Foreign embassy and representative in Indonesia even immediately issued an appeal to the citizens to remain vigilant as posted by the United States, Britain, and Australia through their website. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, will build a base in Southeast Asia, precisely in the Marawi region of Mindanao of Sulu Waters, southern Philippines. As many as 17 Indonesian citizens in the city of Marawi, Mindanao province, the Philippines, refused to evacuate. An Indonesian Muslim intellectual, Azumardi Azra, said the curriculum of the Indonesian International Islamic University should emphasize diversity and non-secretarial approach. Well, it's not that was news in brief for RRWA Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRWA Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism like places of interest, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I will introduce one of the unique traditions of the island of Madras Sumenep, which is sleeping on the sand mattress. So stay tuned in to RRWA Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. In addition to its culinary and natural attractions, Madras Island also has several traditions that are still preserved. One of them is sleeping in the sand. This unique tradition is still preserved in the village of Legung Timur, West Legung and Dapenda villages, Batambatan District, Madura Regency. The tradition of sleeping in the sand has been going on for hundreds of years. Many babies in the village of Legung are known to have been born in the sand. In fact, they were born, play, and grow up in the sand, so no wonder they are nicknamed the Sand People. In every house in the three villages, there must be a room that has a sand bath. Not because they can not afford to buy a mattress, but because it has become a local tradition. Therefore, although they have mattresses, they often prefer to sleep on a sand mattress. There is a sand pool in the room. The edge of the pool is made of brick and then is filled with white sand. In addition to the room, the white sand area is also found in the front yard. The sand used as bedding is white sand taken from the nearby beach. It has gone through the screening process to be completely clean. To keep it clean, it is regularly sifted every morning and afternoon and completely replaced once a year. Uniquely, the sand used is not sticky, doesn't cling to one's body. People in the area who mostly live as fishermen believed that the sleeping on a sand bath can cure rheumatic pain and stiff. In fact, they also have a belief that giving birth on the sand can make babies healthier. Besides, they said sleeping on the sand makes the body feel warm when it is cold and cold when it is hot. They also feel that sleeping on the sand is better than on a cotton mattress or spring bed that costs millions of rupiah. The village of San Matres is only 31 kilometers from Siminup East, or about 45 minutes drive. People there don't mind giving permission to guests wander to enjoy of their San Matres. And listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic sleeping on the sand mattress in Suminup, Madura. If you happen to visit Madura, especially Suminup, take time to try the sensation of sleeping on a sand mattress. Goodbye!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia, it is a pleasure to meet you again in our regular program, Miscellany. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Listener, Muslims in the world, including in Indonesia, have started fasting in the holy month of Ramadan. For a month, Muslims refrain from eating and drinking from dawn to sunset. Therefore, one thing that has often become concern during the fasting month is the fast breaking food, or takjil. Takjil, or Ramadan snack, is always something to look forward to after the hunger and thirst the whole day. In this edition, I will present 5 unique takjil or Ramadan snack from regions in Indonesia. The first is kicak, a traditional Javanese snack sold only during Ramadan. In the past, kicak was made solely from cassava, but in its development, many people make kicak using sticky rice. Other ingredients of kicak are grated coconut, sugar, salt, vanilla, pandan leaves, and ripe jackfruit pieces. All the ingredients are mixed together and then steamed. Once finished, kicak is wrapped in banana leaves to avoid getting bad easily. Second is the jongkong. This typical culinary from Lampung looks like the popular kolak or kompot. However, different from kolak, which contains banana, pumpkins, or cassava, the jongkong is made from a mix of rice flour, glutinous rice flour, and starch, colored and flavored with pandan leaves. The way of presentation is also diverse. Some wrap it with banana leaf, others put it in a small plastic bowls. The third is also similar to kolak, called kolak ayam or chicken kolak. Sweet sauce comes from a mixture of chicken broth, coconut milk, caraway and brown sugar stirred together with green onion, then added with slices of boiled chicken. In addition to having a different taste and appearance, many people believe that this kind of food can cure various diseases. This unique culinary is only cooked by villagers of Gumenog, Gresik, East Java on the 22nd of Ramadan or the eve of the 23rd fasting month. People of Gumenog village also believe chicken kolak can cure certain diseases. And number 4, listener, there is a special beverage that the process of making is not through boiling or refrigerating, but by burning. It is called degan bakar or burnt young coconut. To make this kind of drink, just as the name implies, a whole degan or young coconut is burnt for 3 to 4 hours. The burning aims to make the young coconut meat taste sweeter. This unique culinary can be found in Malang, East Java or Brebes, Central Java. And number 5 listener there is Pakat, the typical culinary of Mandailing tribe from South Tapanuli in North Sumatra, is made of burnt young or shoot rattan. Once burnt, the outer shell is removed and then the pakat is ready to eat. Pakat itself is sold only during Ramadan. However, pakat is a prima donna during the fasting month in Medan, especially for the tribe of Mandailing or South Tapanuli who live there. Pakat is also believed to be efficacious to restore power after fasting all day. Listener, that was Miss Lenny for today's edition with the topic 5 unique Ramadan snack in Indonesia. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Listener, you are still with us at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Now, we would like to appreciate your reception reports and comments via email or Facebook fan page. We answer your letters and emails on Listener's Mailbag every Sunday. Well, here is Listener's Mailbag to be presented by Ani Hasana. So, stay tuned, listeners.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Christian Kurila or Kolar in Croatia. He sent his email through VOI Facebook fan page. He was listening to our broadcast in English program on September 3, 2016 at 17:1600 hours to 17:2700 hours UTC. And the symbol was 32333. Hello, Mr. Christian Kurila. Thank you for your report. We'll soon send your request. Don't forget to listen to Listener's Mailbag every Sunday, a program in which we broadcast listeners' emails and letters. Keep on listening to Voice of Indonesia. Mr. Christian Kurila, we are looking forward to receiving your email and reception report. And special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Engkaulah cinta yang selalu bisa membuat diriku bahagia. Hidupku pun semakin sempurna. Coba kau dengarkan, inilah janjiku, takkan pernah ku lepas dirimu selamanya. Oh, baby, 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 I want you to know. Akan pernah membuat diriku kecewa.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Nguyen Than Tham in Vietnam. He sent his email through VOI Facebook fan page. He was listening to our English broadcast from 1900 hours to 2000 hours UTC on March 1st, 2017. In his email, he told that he heard from our music program the theme song of Sinetron's drama Bidadari. This film drama was released on TV in Vietnam 9 years ago. Hello, Mr. Nguyen Than Tham. Thank you for your email on our broadcast, and we are really surprised to know that we have a listener who likes Indonesian drama. Thank you for your report. Stay tuned on VOI, Voice of Indonesia. As our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Sekarang bawa kau tak bahagia. Aku pun
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we continue to reply a comment from Muhammad Aslam in India. In his email, Mr. Muhammad Aslam said that he appreciates our current program, especially Diplomatic Forum. He said it is a good program. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Aslam. Thank you for your compliment on our broadcast. We try to do the best for our listeners' satisfaction. So please keep listening to our broadcast and sending a report. Thank you. And for you, listeners, wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song.
Thank you. tapi tak selamanya.
Listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visiting our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4N5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4N5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter @voiindonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_indonesia. Well, listener, we have announced Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, and we have selected 10 winners who are lucky to visit Indonesia this month, and they are coming now. They are visiting North Sumatra province. Congratulations to all of you. And for you who have not got a chance to win the quiz, don't worry, we are going to hold another quiz soon. And it is open for our listeners around the world, so don't miss it and keep listening to Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Anya Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Ku serahkan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.